Well, let's begin with the World Food Program. I mean, looking at the scale of the humanitarian needs in South Sudan, what is the scale of the humanitarian needs and the challenges in South Sudan?
Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity. At the moment, we are supporting 4.4 million people with food assistance. It's still on a very large scale. As you know, we are responding to what we call the IPC assessment, which is happening twice per year. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. But we also are trying to shift more from food assistance to a more resilience type of programming, and this project on the roads is part mm-hmm. of that.
Great. And are there any parts of the country that are not receiving any food assistance at all? And how is the donation going to ease this?
Okay. I would say we are reaching every part of the country. Of course, we had issues with access, and that's not a secret in certain areas because of conflict and insecurity. But we see that in the last couple of weeks after the peace agreement that access situation has improved in key areas, and I would like to mention one in particular, which has been high on in the media, also in the international media, is Bagari. Mm-hmm. And particularly in the last 2 weeks, a lot of consultation has taken place between the different parties, and our teams on the ground have been given the assurance that they can now access Bagari in every corner. So we are gearing up in providing the much needed assistance. But in general, I would say we can reach all the areas. Sometimes it takes a bit longer before we get the clearances, but we manage most of the time.
Machi, let's talk about this donation. Why has your government decided to give this donation to the World Food Program?
Well, the Netherlands, Simon was just talking about this. The Netherlands is a big supporter of the Partnership for Recovery and Resilience. This is, in our view, a very important initiative because it is what it is saying is that we cannot, of course, stop with our relief efforts, but we should also invest in resilience of people, basically because that way we can empower people to actually, instead of meeting their needs, reducing their needs, so they can actually, they are able to provide for themselves. This, I think, is a very important step. And that is what this partnership is actually very much about. It's one of the things that is about. It's also about donors getting together, trying to find a place where they can rally behind initiatives to get together. And also for the UN, and Simon knows this also very well, it's a new way of working that the UN agencies mm-hmm. are also are trying to get to a way of working that they collaborate in a better way so that we, you know, concert our efforts and be more effective. So it's a lot, but it's very important. And the one thing, as embassy, our whole development program actually now is geared towards resilience, because we really believe at the end of the day that people of South Sudan can solve their problems themselves, and we can help them to do that. That I think is our task. But we have to enable them and empower them to develop the country themselves. And that, I think, is what this project is a really great example. We are helping to get these roads in a better shape, so the farmers can farm better, so they have better access to inputs for their farming. They have better ways of getting their products out. So and at the end of the day, these farmers, women and youth, also are able to make a bit more money and enhance their lives.
Yes. Yeah, let's look at the importance of this donation and these roads. I mean, of how great of a significant is it to improving general food security in the country for the local South Sudanese?
Yes, thank you. As Simon said, the IPC every year, if we've seen for the past 3 years, it's not improving, it's actually getting worse. So as the donors, we had to think of what can we do differently to improve it, apart from giving food assistance or doing something else. And we thought, okay, the best way is how can we make the farmers increase their production? And even when they do increase their production, how can they get access to the markets? And that's where we've really tried as a donor to link our programs together. So WFP have aggregation center that they have, and how can we link the roads to make sure the farmers are linked to aggregation center where WFP will be able to provide them with the market to buy their produce. So this program, one thing that also stood out, it's a community led program where the community will be involved on the maintenance component. So how are they able to sustain it? Because sustainability is a very key issue in most of the development program. If we have programs and we don't know how it's going to be sustained, that's going to be an issue going ahead. So the community involvement in this program, it's a key role in that. Another part of it, as Mark mentioned, youth and women. How are we going to involve them? Youth and women in this program will also get employment opportunities. How can they improve their life if they have income generating activities that will sort of enable them to improve it and even enable them to take their kids to school and then also have access to better basic services? So.
All right, Simon, let's get back to you. And this donation of maintaining roads, do we know which roads exactly are going to be maintained or constructed?
Maybe first of all, I would like to add what Mark said on the partnerships. It's not a project that WFP will implement alone. We will work very closely with FAO, and we talk about smallholder farmers. So they need a lot of assistance. And the roads is an important part because it will help them to link their produce to markets. But the production side and the productivity side is also crucial. And our partner in the UN, the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, will be a key partner, plus all NGOs, all local partners who are already present in those locations who are supporting farmers. So, yes, these roads, they are they still have to be exactly identified. Let me put it like that. We'll do an analysis together with partners on the ground which roads are will have the highest impact, because all the roads are in a bad shape.
Absolutely.
So we have to prioritize, and we're looking at Torit and Yambio. So we have already a couple of in mind, but we will have an intensive consultation process on the ground to decide which roads would be the highest priority.
All right. Much, let's talk about this donation. With this, that brings around $35 million, if I'm right, the amount of money your government has injected in humanitarian support. Now, does this worry you that, you know, after all, putting this money in there for humanitarian work, but still the humanitarian situation is still there, is still not improving, and people are still unable to support themselves?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's when I first saw these figures, you know, you have these maps with which map out where the situation on food security is very bad in the country, and you see that you know this is the case for a lot of areas in the country, and it worries you. I mean, it's a very difficult situation. On the other hand, you know, you should not be disactivated or demoralized by that. I think it should motivate you to keep looking for solutions. The thing about development is that it's a very tough thing, tough cookie, you know, to crack to get development going in countries. There's no silver bullet. I mean, no one has it. If we would have it, we would grab it right away and go with it. So the only thing that you can do is, I think, is remain modest in your goals, take small steps, and learn from mistakes and celebrate your accomplishments, because there's also some things going better and going well. I think what is special about this project is that the resilience aspect of it, because when you talk about humanitarian aid, it's something that you have to do. I think you're obligated to do that because you have to tend to the need of people. But this project actually is about people being able to tend to their own needs And that is something for me that's makes me very happy, because I think at the end of the day, of course, you have to establish this baseline. People cannot develop on an empty stomach. So if they need relief, they need this, you know, to get to a phase that they can start developing themselves. But then another step is that we help them to actually develop themselves. And this project, I think, is a good example. And it's sort of, it has two sides to it, because you are producing more, you're creating more markets for agriculture and food. So it's doing two things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yara, you would like to add something, especially when it comes to what needed to be done in order to improve the humanitarian situation in the country, and particularly on food security?
Okay, thank you. I think what I could say for that, it's part of it will also look at both sides of situations. We need to look at the production side. Okay, now with peace and stability returning back to the country, we'll have a lot of farmers returning back to some of the areas. How can we make them recover with their lives? So in this situation, we'll look at recovering, giving them, whether getting them seeds, where they could get supply to seeds, where they could build their capacity as well, because capacity building is important when it comes to agriculture sector, and making sure they get access to the market, because our farmers right now, they're very demotivated. They're only producing enough to sustain them for themselves, but not producing enough that they could sell it and generate income from it. So we need to really motivate them back again and say, you could farm enough for yourself, but you could also farm to sell it and improve your life. So once this message start to really get out to most of our farmers, and if we could use Yambi on Torit as an example, mm-hmm. that will also help make other farmers and promote other farmers to come back and do it. So we're trying to look at building resilience in those areas, and with also looking into improving in the other areas as well.
Great. Now, South Sudan has been in war for the last 5 years, since 2013, of course, and this insecurity has caused a lot of, you know, humanitarian needs, malnutrition, and the rest. How will you describe donor response over the past years, Mr. Simon?
I think very generous. It's a very large operation. It's one of the largest in the world for World Food Program, and we have received very generous contributions over the years. But it's the same donors who are also very eager to see a shift, and they're all excited about, I think, the new opportunities the current situation offers, and we cannot expect to continue with the humanitarian relief and just expect that donations will continue to flow. So what we already see, what WFP is embarking on now, is first of all, yes, the need is there, and we'll continue to provide the need where possible. But we're also looking at ways of delivering the food in a more cost-effective way. We are now expanding our delivery through the rivers, which is much more cost effective than by air. You can imagine how expensive these airdrops are. And we're also expanding our road delivery where possible, and that's where this road access program is so important. So this program is particularly for rural farmers and the opportunities that offer, because as we have to realize, this country has a deficit, an annual deficit of cereals of 477,000 tons. It's massive, but the country also has the potential to basically feed itself. So, as Yara said, we are doing this now in two states, and if it works out well, then definitely it's a model which can be replicated to other parts of the country and give an incentive to farmers again, give an incentive to produce more, because we it's demand and supply. The demand is there. Now we have to trigger the supply to enable us to meet the national demand.
All right, that's all the time we have. I'm going to go through you and through all of you just in less than a minute, giving us your final remarks. And I will begin with you, Mark, about the your partnership with the World Food Program or the UN, and also, you know, your government donation to South Sudan. And Yara, and then we'll come to you, Simon. What would be your final remarks to our listeners who are listening to us right now? Mark?
No. Well, I mentioned, of course, before that the partnership, I think, is very important for us. We really intend to be a leading actor in that partnership, supporting that. I think what is going to be interesting in the coming time when we venture into this area of moving from relief to resilience is that we will want to combine these efforts. And then you also have, on the one hand, if you're giving away things to people, but you also want them to pick up their own lives, mm-hmm. that also sometimes seems to bump into each other. For instance, if we want to create a South Sudanese seed industry, but we are also giving away seeds, then, you know, it's difficult for private sector entities to evolve here in the country. So I think that's a challenge, which is not unsolvable, but that is also, I think, a part of the partnership that you can talk about these issues, target certain areas, and make sure that you're not having colliding efforts in the process. So that, I think, is very important. And as I mentioned before, we have to keep learning from our successes and also from the things which are not going right at first. And I think if we could keep doing that and working together, I think we can make a difference.
Great. Yar?
Okay, thank you. I think my last remarks would be here. It's to focus, just to mention, on the women and youth. Here in most of our programs, we don't only want to reach women. We want the women to benefit. We want to empower them. And how we plan to do that, we want to mainstream the gender in all our programs. And in particular, in this program, we look at employment opportunities and how the women can increase their income and improve their lives. So what I would say for this one is to give encouragement to our women and youth. They have to come forward and then take their place. Thank you.
All right. Simon?
Yeah, first of all, to express my gratitude to the government of the Netherlands for giving the confidence to WFP that we can indeed and we want to play this role in the shift from humanitarian to recovery and resilience, and creating the conducive environment for farmers is critical. I know that there are many farmers out there who would love to produce more, but there has to be an incentive for them to do so. So we will do everything to make this program a success and show that we can replicate this elsewhere and support the farmers in this country.
Simon, Madge, and Yar, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And